Welcome to the Kick-Ass Couples Podcast. This is the place where we help committed couples who want to level up their marriage experience newfound clarity, hope, and confidence. We're Matthew and Kim, co-hosts and husband and wife.
In 26 years together, we've seen a lot and never thought it could be as good as it is right now. We're here to help you successfully navigate the messy, dirty, and wonderful world of marriage.
We believe all couples deserve and are capable of experiencing an extraordinary and fulfilling marriage. And each week, we're bringing you life lessons from real-life successful couples to help you grow and strengthen your relationship.
We'll get started right after this message.
If you want to learn how to experience the best, most fulfilling year of your marriage, we invite you to order Matthew's new book, Kick-Ass Husband, Winning at Life, Marriage, and Sex. You can get it at Amazon.com or visit Matthew's website, www.matthewphoffman.com. Again, that's Amazon.com or www.matthewphoffman.com. And now, back to the show.
Studies show that couples who have true friendship as their core will go on to enjoy a loving relationship that will endure the test of time. Colin and Dawn Provine first met when they were both attending college during their junior year studying medicine. Within a few years, they went from being college buddies and best of friends to romantic life partners. Inspired by their parents' and grandparents' long-lasting marriages, Colin and Dawn knew what they wanted was a future together and a close-knit family. Now they are juggling two successful careers as doctors and are as committed and in love as ever. Listen in to learn their secrets of how to make love last. All right. We are so excited today to be back with you at the Kick-Ass Couples Podcast. We have a beautiful couple with us today. We have Dawn Erickson Provine and the enchanting and suave Mr. Colin Provine with us. We are so excited to have you guys. Welcome.
We're so excited to be here.
All right.
So excited. Thanks, guys, for doing this and for having us.
Absolutely. We are ready to dive into our interview with the two of you. And we like to ask right off the bat, what do you think makes you a kick-ass couple? And either one of you can take that first.
Sure. I think for us, we started way back, you know, and so we met in college, pretty much the first week of school, and it wasn't fully a love at first sight kind of thing. But when we did meet, and we were, it was helpful we were in the same dorm, right? She was almost right downstairs from me, probably 30 feet from my dorm door. And so I think we were going to meet at some point. But when we did meet, what really helped us to kick us off from a relationship standpoint was that we were just buddies. We were friends. We hung out a lot, you know, went to the library a lot. And so having a base of true friendship for a good number of months that ultimately developed into something else, I think having that foundation in college when you're almost in a dream world anyway, you're away from home, you're kind of responsible, but you're not in the real world quite yet. That's been very, very fundamental and foundational for us, how we got started and how the relationship evolved over time.
Well, I'll piggyback on that and say, yes, the foundation is the absolute, but the trajectory, I think, is what really makes us a kick-ass couple. It's all of the potential that we see in ourselves to continue to grow and fortify our relationship, the things that we can see contributing to society and to family. I think that's probably the most important right now for us.
I think along those lines too. I mean, a professor in business school once mentioned that, you know, he said, Mary, this was a sage old professor. It was his last year of teaching at the school. He was in his 80s, I think. He said, you know what? No, don't marry for love. Marry for values. Right. And that really started. I wrote it down at the time, didn't think a lot about it, but thought about it later. And that's really been key for us, is that we had very similar values coming from different places, for sure, different parts of the country, et cetera, but very similar values. And that was key to us building a stronger and stronger relationship over time.
No doubt. I love hearing that the friendship system was so foundational for you, because I think studies have really shown that when couples have that real, true friendship as their core, it just, as you said, Dawn, it goes up from there.
And another great pearl. I love, the values versus the love, and you got to have a foundation. And Dawn, you said trajectory, and that's so right. It's trajectory. If you're not looking where you're going, right, it's going to be a mess. So you're looking at where you're going, but you're taking the values and the commonality with you. You know, how are we going to do in the family? How are we going to do in our community? What are we going to do in our careers? Right. And so I love that. And that's why your windshield's so big and the rearview mirror's so small, right? You got to look where you're going. Otherwise, it can get pretty messy. So you guys just gave us three great pearls in the opening there. So thank you for that. And, you know, one of the things, it's fun to hear why you think you are, and we agree from how we know you guys. And, you know, we're both firm believers that you really have to look back sometimes before you can go forward. And Kim has an expression she'll often say is, you know, I think that grandpa's in your bones, right? So we're all kind of a product of who raised us and sure. what did love look like. So I would love to hear from each of you. Maybe Dawn, you can start and say, what did love look like for you growing up in your house, your home? How was that expressed, and how did you experience love?
Love took many forms, because it wasn't just in a parental vision. My parents were not growing up primarily when I was younger, and we have a very big extended family. So that's really where I saw a lot of the relationships. And that just taught me not only about, you know, love in a couple, but how you share that love with the family to keep everyone together. And when Colin became a part of my family and I became a part of his, that was what was so important to me, was how they embraced him and how he embraced my family. So just to go back a little bit about, you know, me growing up, I grew up in a very urban setting in Brooklyn, New York. Life was busy, on the go. So when we had the time to slow down a little, we went to see family in Cambridge, Massachusetts. And my mom has a pretty big family. She's got 8 siblings altogether. And that was really where all the magic was.
So what I hear you saying is you learn from your parents, but you really learn more from your extended family, those aunts and uncles and cousins. And sounds like you had an incredible canvas of relationships and experiences and expressions as you were growing up. Can you think of one can you give me one specific example of what, so of whether it's your mom and dad or extended family, like how did you see love expressed? Like, what do you remember between two people that were intimate and close to each other? Can you think of an example?
Well, I think with my family, we're pretty touchy-feely. So, it was no big deal for us to cuddle together. And even to this day, we run around the house when my sisters and my nieces come over, and we, you know, poke each other in inappropriate areas and run off and, you know, laugh, and lots of laughter. And in terms of, you know, more of a, I guess, a foundational type of love, just unconditional love with, you know, parents being there to help with our studies and, you know, taking us places and, you know, just really showing us the world and always supporting everything we ventured to do in it. So that's how I experienced it.
Oh, that's great. How about you, Colin?
And sure. I think from my standpoint, I think first about my parents as my earliest example. They've been married this year. Next month will be 55 years. They were college sweethearts, like Dawn and myself, met in college, and both of their parents were, until their deaths, were married, you know, 60 years or so, what have you. So that was a great example in some sense, but I also had a nice reality check in the sense that both of my parents, all of their siblings, experienced divorce in some point in their lives. So my cousins were all sort of products of divorce at some point. That said, we really have a loving and cohesive family on both fronts. And I think what was sort of foundational for my mom and what my parents provided was a stable home, comfort in that, just an investment in our education. Sacrifice was very big. My parents sent, you know, three kids, myself and my two siblings, my brother and my sister, to private schools for most of our education, and to all three of us to the Ivy League for undergrad. And it was a huge sacrifice in a lot of ways. But that was certainly a way for my parents to show their love for us by investing in our education, even when other things, they had the same car for 20 years because they were paying tuition, and that came first. Sure. You know, that was the priority. So they exhibited love in those sorts of ways. And I had a great example of a couple that's still growing strong today with their seven grandkids, 55 years, some odd years later from college. So shining example for me, and almost a template in a way. Not that I went to school looking for, you know, the next my wife or what have you, but certainly when it sort of happened naturally, I could envision where this was going by looking at my parents and my grandparents, quite honestly.
Sure. Yeah.
And I looked at both sets of grandparents. My grandparents have been together, you know, right until they died. And so that was always there for me, my mom and my dad's parents.
Beautiful example of sacrifice. Colin, can you think of a way, a time that you remember looking at your parents' relationship? How did they express love and care for each other? What did you see? How did they do that as you remember?
Sure. And as I remember, but also as I go back, I'm a trustee at my alma mater back in my hometown, Chattanooga, Tennessee, scenic Chattanooga, Tennessee. And when I go back, I'm often there by myself going to a board meeting, and I'm traveling up between holidays for that board meeting. And maybe I'm there a couple nights. And fortunately, my parents are still in town, so I stay at their house. In my own home, my own bedroom that I grew up in, basically. Wow. And often early in the morning, I'll hear my parents, and they have pretty much a routine. They make breakfast in the morning. They sit at the table, listen to the easy listening station, and read the newspaper, or what have you. But I'll overhear their conversations a bit, and they're just so kind of kind and just loving and patient. And I think back, wow, that I do flash back to 1985 or something, because it's the same sort of routine and the same kind of love and demeanor that I experienced as a kid. And that's reassuring and life affirming in a way for me 30 years plus later to see that they still have that, even with their long empty nest now. And so that's certainly a way that I've seen it consistently through time, exhibit that towards each other.
And I will give a shout out to his parents too, because I've been going to his parents' house since I was 18. So they definitely served as an example for me as we were still growing up.
Sure. What a great example of constancy, and you know, and how that makes you feel as a child, but then again as now a parent, an adult, and a father and a husband. Sure. Just that consistency and knowing that those qualities are strong and they've remained strong and they're still demonstrating them, and that's a testament to them, and obviously, you know, a great example to you. So thank you for that.
We have 13 pillars that we believe make up a successful relationship. And of those 13 pillars, we have three that we really focus on. We call them the three C's, and that's commitment, communication, and conflict resolution. What I'd love to talk to you both a little bit about first is commitment and what commitment looks like in your relationship. So maybe Dawn, if you could take that first, tell me a little bit about how commitment shows up in your relationship with Colin.
Well, we've had our relationship tested in many ways, and we've never failed. When we were dating after college, we had a long distance relationship, and that was, it actually wasn't difficult for me at all to just, you know, say, hey, I'm going to get that plane ticket and get out there to run up the phone bill back when there was such a thing for long distance phone bills. And to spend all night, you know, catching up after work on the phone or writing letters and sending little care packages and things like that. Further down the line, when we already had children, or we were in the process of having our children, I was in medical school, long hours, big commute. We actually lived in between where I was attending medical school and where Colin was working, and we both had driven 100 miles a day to get back and forth. At some point, we were doing that with little Kaori in the back seat. And just, you know, really filling in the gap when the other needed whatever they needed, you know, if it was, you know, doing the dishes, helping with housework, you know, making dinner, just giving a back rub, little things like that really just, you know, showed our commitment to one another. And it just came so easily and effortlessly. It wasn't as if I had to plan to be committed. You know, we just felt obligated.
It sounds like you were very in tune to each other's needs and were able to sort of intuit what each other needed in, you know, whatever moment you might have been in. And so I love hearing that you were, you know, open to those opportunities to be committed and show your commitment to each other. How about you, Colin? What, tell me a little bit about what commitment looks like for you.
Now, I think likewise. I mean, if you think about whether it's long distance or even going back to college, you know, we essentially dated for 3.5 years of our 4 years up at Yale, right? And that was a very busy campus, a lot of students around, and many relationships came and went around us. And it's like we didn't even question it. You know, we had something strong. We knew it. We had tons of fun. Some folks made fun of us because they always saw us together. But we also had to maintain our own lives on campus as well, whether it's in my fraternity or in her community service, or we had very intensive majors. And so that was just the beginning. And so that became our expectation. We do whatever we need to do to take care of each other and continue to grow. My dad often says we're a good team, and he's been saying it for a few decades at this point. And that's
my
the case. So
and
your mom as well. And so it sort of comes naturally, and we feel very fortunate and blessed. We know it comes with work, but it is something that just sort of we do it without thinking about it. And so for me, commitment is the long term, being there for each other, getting through medical school and residency. I felt like I went through medical school, even though it was her, not me. And with two kids in medical school and one in residency.
And he traveled across the world.
And I've traveled the globe many times over for business at the same time. And we did whatever we had to do to be there for the kids and try to maintain careers and through all the twists and turns of careers and what have you. And now it's sort of like, you know, it's been many years later, and it's sort of like Michael Jordan said at one point, the game sort of slows down when you get to a certain age. You can kind of anticipate things a little bit. So we continue to challenge ourselves and grow. We don't get complacent, because that's something you want to always look out for. But we remain equally as committed as we always have been. And now, you know, it's 30 plus years.
We're really fortunate that we started our relationship so early. We weren't we grew together. I'll put it that way. We weren't so grounded in already becoming sort of separate entities. He's just like the other part of me. We're not a separate person, it seems.
And the things that you described could potentially tear people apart, right? You're traveling the globe. You have a young child. You're in medical school. There are so many things happening. You're, you know, each in these vortexes that are just sort of swirling around, yet you still were able to come together and really focus on being a team.
Right.
And I think that's a great, important point for our listeners to hear.
I mean, everybody's got a lot of, I mean, two full-time professional careers that are demanding, no doubt. Large extended families, right? Three kids. Sure. And there's a lot, but the fact that you're able to maintain that commitment, I think one of the things I just, before we move on to our next pillar here, you guys talked about growing together, and that's huge. You know, people talk about growing apart, but what I heard you say, Dawn, is that you were learning how to do things at the same time. So you're kind of figuring out who you want to be and how you want to be and helping each other do that, as opposed to, hey, this is who I am, that's who you are, and we're these separate poles that are trying to figure out if we can make it work together. So that's a beautiful example. I appreciate that. And it kind of leads into our next pillar, which is communication. And communication is so critical. I mean, if there is commitment, kind of anything can be done. We both feel pretty strongly that commitment is the cornerstone of a relationship. And we know that you all have that down. So when you think about communication, Colin, I'll ask you first, sure. What does that look like in your relationship? How have you guys learned to make that dance and keep it effective and meaningful?
I think for one, communication is multifaceted. I mean, it's certainly the verbal communication. It's the nonverbal. It's being in tune. Communication is sort of how we hit it off. I mean, we were, I would say, goofing off in the dorm at the library or the dining hall on campus. And I mean, night seemed so long at that point, but there seemed to be so much we were trying to squeeze into it as well. But there were some of those nights where it's clearly 2 a.m. We knew we had classes the next day, and we'd be up talking about, anything, crazy stuff, funny stuff, really deep conversations. And so we built our relationship upon a basis of communication well before we were, romantic or together. And that's been a constant steady. Dawn is a very frank communicator, I think, and I think it's a lot of her style. So I've learned so much from her about speaking your mind, saying what you really mean. And so I was a little more, I guess, more reserved and thinking, and not willing to always put my thoughts out there so much.
It's his Southern way versus my Brooklyn way.
Exactly. Yeah, they're a little different. Yeah. So I think we've really leveraged that as one of our really superpowers, I guess, in staying in communication. Whether I'm in England or India or India or Paris on a trip, and she's deep into a call or something for work. And that's something that's just we've continued to get stronger and stronger at. But absolutely key in my mind that we're on the same page, we're in the loop. And when we're not, we kind of circle the wagons and talk about it and get clear on whatever the issue may be.
Great. Well, go ahead,
we're
Dawn.
Super funny about communication, honestly. He missed some highlights. But when we were in college, we almost developed our own language. We came up with a lot of acronyms.
I want to hear some. Come on.
Yeah, you got it.
Come on, girl.
We coined the term OMG like 30 years ago. 30
plus
years
way ago. Before it's
Why
time.
Didn't you patent that? You come on.
We should have. We had so many ways of communicating that were nonverbal. To this day, we can still give each other the eye. We know exactly what we're talking about. If you're working a cocktail party and look at each other from across the room, you kind of know what it means, whether it's time to go or
it's all in the eyes.
you look like you're really having a good time talking to that person over there, that kind of look, or even when we're around family, just have an inside joke on some things. And
nicknames for folks.
And we're very intentional communicating. Sometimes in the morning I leave the house and I call when I'm driving down the street just to, hurry up and catch up on what the business of the day would be. And we text often through the day. I can think of times where it's been his birthday and I've put sticky notes all over the bathroom mirror to tell him happy birthday all over the house. And, we're just always thinking about that.
And we both like to talk a lot, so maybe that's part of the, very careless, that's part of the communication.
When it comes to creating a kick-ass marriage, do you ever wonder what you could be doing better? Have you ever thought how helpful it would be to be a part of a like-minded community of other imperfect couples who want to level up in their number one relationship? Come visit Kick-Ass Couples Nation, where you can talk with people just like you who are looking for ways to invest in and increase their joy, commitment, and fulfillment in their most important human relationship. You'll have access to a team of licensed marriage therapists, coaches, articles, podcasts, live webinars, and more. Just visit MatthewPHoffman.com so you can learn more about a community that's ready to help you level up. That's MatthewPHoffman.com so you can become of the growing kick-ass couples nation right now. So how did you guys learn? Where do you think that came from? Where did you, what brought you to develop the style of how you guys communicate together? Was it, did you just say, hey, I think this is what we need to do? Was it agreement? Was it looking at somebody else? Or was it saying, we're definitely not doing that, we're doing this? How do you guys think you kind of landed on?
Yes, yes, and yes, Matt.
Yeah. Okay.
Well, laughter was for part sure. of it too. I'm a comedian and I love comedy. So, you know, I'm always doing something to make it funny. So that really pushes the need.
Beautiful. Yeah.
I think that's a lot of it. I mean, whether it's watching funny movies, Eddie Murphy movies or whatever it may be through the years, you know, Seinfeld, just whatever. Don's a huge comedy buff. I was as well.
It's hard to make him laugh, so I try harder.
Yeah. I'm poker face.
Stoic. Good. All right.
So the third of our three C's is conflict resolution. And I know that after the many years you have been together, there have been peaks and valleys. And I think we all go through that in relationships. So I'm curious, how have you managed conflict resolution within your relationship?
I would say one, I mean, we manage our expectations for one. So even though we view life as a journey and certainly not about the destination so much, we understand there are challenging times just based on our careers and having three kids, you know, like yourselves. I mean, that introduces plenty of challenges, financial and otherwise, through the years. And so I think we're not naive, so we anticipate some things are going to be challenging. And honestly, it goes back to the previous pillar, communication. So when we do have that conflict or perceived conflict or potential conflict, it's not too long passes before we honestly and frankly speak and talk about it and work through it, whether it's, you know, in the bedroom or on the phone, driving to work or what have you. But we don't let it fester or go on too long without really confronting the elephant in the room, so to speak.
I think I missed something. I didn't know we had any conflicts.
That's true. Well, just minor stuff.
No. I think I'm a little more semantic. Maybe it's the doctor in me, but I rather diagnose the crux of the issue, and then I just hammer away at that. So, you know, just figuring out what is creating the impasse. And just going either through it, around it, over, under, whatever I need to do to scale it. That's just sort of my approach. And yeah, I definitely like to resolve something sooner than later. We had a recent blow up over something. And I think 5 minutes later, I said, oh, okay, I'm sorry. Thanks for letting me get that out. I just needed to kind of yell about that for a minute. And then we just moved on. And we just laughed afterward.
Well, one thing I'll say about Dawn, though, that I've always been impressed with is that she will blow pretty hot about some things, but she really gets over it so quickly. And I'm like, wow. I mean, did she forget 10 minutes ago she was upset about this thing? And she'll keep it moving. And I'm sitting there like, still like, wow, you know, recovering from the blow. But she completely can keep it moving and keep her blood pressure down and all of that. So just, I don't know, maybe survival technique from Brooklyn. I don't know. But I mean, it's certainly the case, I think.
Another thing you said, Dawn, that really stood out to me is that you really want to get to the crux of the problem. Mm-hmm. Because we always talk about it's not about you didn't take out the trash, right? It's really a deeper issue when challenges come up and there's conflict and you're really working through things. So I think it's really important to say to your spouse or your significant other, hey, what's really going on? What's gotten at you today? Like what's making you feel this way? So I love that you are sort of the digger and you're really getting in there to say, you know, Colin, what's happening here? let's figure this out.
Yeah. What's the dream inside the conflict? All right. The conflict says it's this, but hold on. Let's, what's the dream that's going on back in there, and talk about it. And I think, you know, you guys didn't say this, but I sense that when there's conflict for Kim and I too, we're getting better at this, not always perfect, but it's making sure that, you know, how do you not if someone's hotheaded, right? And they're coming at you, woo, the walls go up and we want to be defensive, and maybe we verbally say something, right, that is not in keeping with those values that we have. And I think it's okay to have conflict, but agreeing how you're going to have it to make sure that you're still respecting and loving and not doing something within the conflict that's tearing down or denigrating the other person, because then that creates, that's like a wound, right? I mean, that's like you're twisting the knife,
right?
You know, you already got the knife in there, and then you move it around or try to stab again. And that's, I think, keeping that way. And it sounds like you guys are able to play, you know, go through that, even though with your different styles. Even Don is a little more, what I'm hearing you say, succinct and to the, hey, let's bear it all and get out there. And Colin, you're like, okay, well, you know, we'll talk about it and kind of marinate a little bit. And, you know, maybe we all have those roles and handle those differently, but it sounds like you all do it and respect the style of each other.
And has, I'm curious, Colin, has Don taught you to be more vulnerable and open by the way has been pretty much just succinct and to the point?
Yeah, I think the vulnerable piece was fine, because I was always sort of a softy, I guess, to some extent. But the open piece and being frank and honest about what you feel, you know, she's the surgeon and the digger, so she can go in and operate and help really figure it out sometimes. And when I may be more in denial and you know, it's kind of dancing around it. So I think we both sort of met in the middle in a little ways. She softened the edges a little bit in that regard, and I've become more perceptive around some of these things and more aggressive about getting right to the crux of the issue. So that's another example of how we've grown together, and 1 + 1 = 3 in this case, I think, in a lot of ways.
Synergy. I love
that.
To be
softer too, though.
Yeah, so. I've tried.
Yeah.
No, you have. You have. For many, many years, the big issue for me and spilling over into us was my career, you know, just a lot of fatigue and, you know, stress and working long hours, sometimes working 24, 36 hours and really, really busy. You know, you just realize how that changes your mood, you know.
Sure.
When you bring that home to your husband and your family, that's challenging. You know, that's hard for everyone.
It is. It is. And I wanted to make sure you said the 1 + 1 = 3, and that synergy is so important in relationships, because it's about the us, and together, you know, together you're stronger than separate. So making sure those cords wrap together, keep the strength of the relationship, of the family, and that support. And I think that's a great way to think about kind of putting a ribbon on conflict resolution. We've kind of talked a lot about three of our pillars, the three C's we call them, but we do have 11 other pillars on that sheet in front of you. So what I would love for you guys to do is to look at those pillars, and I'd like you to let me know, and Colin, we'll ask you to go first. Which one of those outside of the three C's stands out most to you, or do you feel has special meaning or significance?
I would say the intimacy in some ways, and that's all levels of intimacy in a lot of ways. We're very close and touchy-feely. Don mentioned massages. That's one of my secret powers, foot massages and back massages, quite honestly. And I, you know, I like touch in general.
Sounds like a love language.
Yeah, right. It works. And then, you know, I didn't grow up really in a huggy family. With all the love we had, we weren't really physical huggy. Don's family was. So I kind of learned that a lot from being around her extended family in a lot of ways. And so just kind of interesting how that's been something that's become, you know, more and more important over time. So, but it's also emotional intimacy as well, right? Being connected, being aware of each other, and just the power of the mind and positive thoughts. You know, just sort of those kinds of things resonate for us, and even if, you know, we don't speak during the day,
I honestly get just as excited when, and she has her own ringtone on my phone, my iPhone, but when that ringtone goes off, as I have, you know, for 30 years, you know, so I think that's just the, you know, evidence of sort of the intimacy that we've built emotionally and physically and otherwise. And it's something that that's very, you know, critically important, I think.
I would agree with you. Is there anything that you do to preserve that? Like, how do you, it sounds like you've been able to do that. Can you think of something that you do or that she does for you in your relationship that helps cement that and keep it strong and flowing?
I think one thing that's important for us almost on a daily basis, I call it cuddle on the couch kind of thing. And meaning at some point in the day, we're sitting on the love seat or the sofa or the chairs in front of the bed watching TV. And we get that quiet time to really try to relax in a very busy life. Right. And we make that a priority. Weekends for sure. You know, we always seem to find time to make that happen in a lot of ways. And it just may be Netflix and chill, so to speak, but we're sitting together, you know, watching something. I have a particular affinity for LMN lately. Go figure, right? Is that channel LMN and some of those corny movies. And we watch those and make fun of them kind of together. So that's sort of that always finding the time in the day to get some. And that may often lead to a foot massage, a back massage as well, which I know she loves. So so that's important for us in our weekly and daily routine.
Good.
So I will sum it up to say that it's kind of the fun and humor with the intimacy. Literally anything that tickles my brain is good for me and just makes me want more of that. And he said he has the secret power. He can massage my feet. And I tell him, I literally feel that in my brain right now. I feel it in my head tingling.
That's, you know, awesome.
And if we're watching a show that we both get a big kick out of, he mentioned LMN, but we were joking around more recently that, hey, we ought to have a podcast kind of like the way Beavis and Butthead just sat around and made, you know, comments on these shows. We just say the funniest things about these shows.
Yeah.
We just crack each other. It's like, God, I wish we recorded that, you know?
Yeah.
So just that humor and keeping me engaged and also keeping me on my toes. He has a very dry sense of humor that will surprise you sometimes. You know, he just comes up with this one liner that I didn't see coming. And I'm like, God, that's why I married you, you know?
I think humor and play in a relationship is vital. And I believe it just makes for such a fulfilling relationship when you have that. And I bet, Dawn, you were a kick-ass mom as well, because your kids probably just thought you were hysterical.
They think I'm crazy.
I love it, though. That's what makes it so much fun.
It's amazing when you can make your kids blush, right?
Isn't
that amazing?
Right?
You're doing your job.
That's exactly right.
Make them blush. Make them tell you to stop.
A little bit.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
I do that all the
Matthew
time.
Matthew lived for that.
I do. Sure. I'm doing my job. I kiss Kim. They're like, can you stop it?
Don't kiss her like that.
You don't think I love this woman? Oh, I don't want to hear that. Don't do it.
Right.
That's good. Well, I appreciate you guys sharing about those pillars. Thank you.
So we believe that the success of our relationship and the beauty of our relationship is so fulfilling for us that it just spills over into other things that we do. And it does that just naturally, right? Because we're so filled, our cup is so full that it spills over into other areas of our life. And I'd love to know, what are some ways that your relationship and the fullness of your relationship has spilled over into other areas of your lives?
Sure. I mean, we are pretty active out there, I guess. You know, family is the priority and the kids and all of that. Our youngest is now senior in high school, so we can almost taste the empty nest approaching, and we embrace that. Not a bad thing. We know they won't be far. They'll come back many times. But I think we try to have full engaged sort of lives in a lot of ways. So we're active in the community in a lot of ways, on boards and school boards. And that's how we met, I think, Matt. And sort of spent a lot of time together many years ago, and just, you know, community service,
very big on just kids' education in schools and college prep, those kinds of things. So a lot of these organizations that we're part of, hospital boards, for example, there are a lot of social events, pandemic aside, and we don't say no to most of those invites. We love to go to those events and meet people and really just broaden our network in a lot of ways and learn from folks, most importantly. So we're not just about working kids. I mean, we really like to have a role in our wider community and lead in that regard and still try to keep all the balls in the air and try to find that elusive work-life balance. But that's important for us.
Yeah, I like to look at us as Provine 2.0. And so the way our relationship spills into other things is that every time he has his hand in the community doing something, or even on the level of family or going to work, I always get the debrief. So I learn all the things that he learned during the day and vice versa. It's almost like we just kind of can't wait to give all those highlights when we get home, like, oh, you got to hear this, or especially things where we're connected, to the same organization, like our Yale community. And I may hear from one of our friends from Yale and, can't wait to share the news and vice versa. But that's really what I love, is that I'm getting double,
You're being enriched by his experience of enriching others, and vice versa. It sounds like that's a nice dance. That's great.
I've been to a lot of medical functions in my day. So.
Oh, he's speaking the lingo sometimes.
I was going to say, when did you go to medical school?
People think there might be two doctors in the family sometimes, right? Wait a minute. Who's the doctor here? I love it. Well, so in all the years you've been married, this is a fun question, and we're kind of dwindling down here, but we love to ask this. So, and Dawn, I'm going to ask you to go first if you don't. Knowing what you know now, if you could go back and give your unmarried self one piece of advice, what would it be?
That's hard, because I was just making this comment the other day that I don't have many regrets, because if I change one thing, I wouldn't end up where I am right now. So it's so hard to try to think of something that I could do differently. But definitely enjoying the journey more is a big one. Often looking at the end point and not enjoying the steps in between. Thankfully, we have thousands of pictures to, sit in our empty nest shortly and pour over those memories. That's a hard question. I guess just love harder and smell the roses more along the way.
Sure. Good advice. How about you, Colin?
I think for me, change is constant. So just an awareness of you should embrace change. It's there, something to really dive into, and as opposed to trying to resist change. Change can be very, very positive and exciting if you embrace it, and you almost have an expectation that it's going to be there. Having that mindset a little sooner would help me really appreciate new challenges, look for the positive in job changes and moves to new cities, that kind of thing. So certainly looking back, I have a better appreciation for that now.
Yeah, there's a lot of fear there. And I think when you can set aside the fear and really be open to the change and welcome the change, you can find that it can sometimes be really bittersweet, right?
Absolutely.
Great. Well, thank you guys so much for the time we've had with you today. We've got to know you a little better and hear some of the things, what you've done to build a successful kick-ass relationship. And we're grateful. If people wanted to learn more about you or your companies or what you're doing and where you guys are, where should they look, or where would you send them if they say, hey, we want to learn more about these people?
I mean, I'm on Facebook and LinkedIn is probably the best way to get me. And my causes are school boards, things like I'm alma mater's board, for example. And we've been very, at our kids' school, as you know, Berkeley Prep, we've been very actively involved there for 14, 15 years at this point. So that's probably the best way, and that's where to kind of find us. Active in my fraternity, more active now in my college fraternity, which I've been a member since my, you know, sophomore year of college. And we're very busy in the community as well. So that's probably the best way, and that's where you'll find me most outside of work.
Sure.
Well, you can find me on LinkedIn, Facebook, and my company that I'm currently the medical director at is called Age Rejuvenation. So we have a lot of social media. We have our own website. I have my own sorority and other social organizations that I'm part of. So Alpha Kappa Alpha Sorority. I'm on the Academy Prep of Tampa board, and I participate in a lot of other community service activities through an organization called Jack and Jill of America. So that's where I would be.
Beautiful.
Well, thank you both so much. You have really been so generous with your time and have been open and vulnerable with us, and we really appreciate all that you have given to our listeners today. And I also want to acknowledge you for all of the hard work and dedication that you have given to the community of Tampa Bay, as well as your communities of Yale and all the other things that, John, you were just describing, which is a long, beautiful list of things that you all are involved in. So, you know, you're making time for your family. Obviously, you've prioritized your relationship, but you're also making time for your family, friends, and your community. So kudos to you all for that.
We're grateful to you on all those levels, and we enjoyed speaking with you today and can't wait to connect again soon.
Thank you. We've enjoyed this so much, and we're so proud of what you guys have done. We just really appreciate the opportunity.
Absolutely. Thanks, the journey continues.
It does. Until next time.
That's all we've got for this episode of the Kick-Ass Couples Podcast. If you like the content of this show, you'll love Matthew's newly released book, Kick-Ass Husband, Winning at Life, Marriage, and Sex. To receive a digital mini book of quotes and images from the book, all you have to do is rate this show and leave a review in Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you tune in to listen. Then email us a screenshot of your review at podcast@kickasscouplespodcast.com. And we'll get it over to you right away. Until next time, remember, happily ever after doesn't just happen, it's on purpose.